Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
With another host, Ken Lee. How are we doing today, Ken?
Perfect. Come be back.
And behind the glass, we have producer Tyler Offeld, who is... What is it? Is it the balloons we always talk about? Tyler, are you on your balloon again?
It hasn't come down yet.
It's not come down yet.
Pure Chelsea steam power keeping me aloft.
Oh my god. I can't wait to come. I hope it's a
massive defeat. The power of Murata's head is just keeping me up in the air.
Yeah, we do have that to talk about. It was a really interesting week in the Prem. And honestly, Ken, like the way I go into these weekends now is I'm just kind of like, all right, so which one of the big six are going to stumble? Who's it going to be? Because it's always going to be somebody.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of the league. It's going to be someone every single week, whether the stumble is, you know, dropping, you know, 2 points on a draw or dropping all three, you know, on a slide away or even home. I kind of like that if it's not my club. But, you know, something's going to happen every single week. And, you know, going back to 2 weeks ago when, you know, we were kind of saying like, maybe kind of like a bland week coming back from international break. Again, the Prem doesn't disappoint.
No, we got a lot of games coming up in September too. We have the Champions League getting reintroduced as the group stages start for those of us who are in the Champions League.
Yeah, it could be Europa for some of us.
Yeah, but you and I have had a lot of interesting conversations about that over the last couple of weeks, so we'll touch on that too. But yeah, we'll start with the game of the weekend going in the first game. On Saturday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time in Baltimore, Manchester City versus Liverpool at the Etihad Stadium in Manchester. And Kenley, did this game disappoint?
I would say on a score level, yes, but on an action level and a what's potentially going to happen for the rest of the season based on this result alone, I think not. Just a couple things that I think were displayed and one major thing that I think any fan who is not a Manchester City fan needs to start worrying about. And I mean, I don't know where you want to start with it, but
we'll start at the beginning.
Exactly.
Manchester City rolling out, looking good so far this season. They're grinding out a couple victories. They got a little lucky when one of their games went into the 97th minute somehow, and they scored in that 97th minute. But the bottom line's the same. Two wins and a draw coming in. Looking good enough, I'd say, and still not firing on all cylinders coming into the game. Liverpool, on the other hand, fresh off of smashing Arsenal, looking very dangerous without Coutinho, who did not feature in this game. Isn't that right, Ken?
Again, he wasn't here today.
Not even on the bench.
Not even on the bench, and today alone, if anything, what we can start off with is for the casual fan out there, this game and this weekend for Liverpool illustrated perfectly the highs and lows that a club, a fan is going to go through during the span of the entire season. Just 2 weeks ago, Liverpool host Arsenal and steamroll them. Like Arsenal came in and stole something from them. They wanted it to be the longest ride back to London on earth, and they made it that. Not 2 weeks later, one playing week later in the league, and they get stomped away at Manchester City. It's just very high 2 weeks ago. I would imagine they're very, very low today. And there's a couple talking points, you know, that I like to get into when you are ready about
this game, man.
That kind of stick. Outside the scoreline, everyone's going to jump. You just look, if you didn't watch the game, you look at a score 5-0. Holy cow. Like, what was Liverpool even doing? Did they even field a team? They did field a team. They fielded what a lot of people who have made their opinions pretty public was their best 11. And I don't think that I'm talking out of turn here when I say that.
No.
It's just one of these days where City just was not going to be beat. And it's, for those of you who didn't watch, there was a, I feel, and I want to get your opinion, Tom, on this, a highly questionable red card given. Mane, what were your feelings on the red card? Let's do that before we go, because let's not forget, Man City was already 1-0 when this had happened, and they never looked like, Liverpool never looked like scoring after that. It was Man City from the jump, from this game. In the very beginning, though, Tom, it can be, I guess we can talk this. Both teams look kind of off. Like, there definitely looked like some international rust going on the first, 10 minutes or so. They were both missing passes. They were both off the ball. Both teams seemed off the pace, but still in that City, right up until they scored that goal, they looked the better of the two clubs that were on the field. Now let's talk about the red card immediately. Do I need to set this up? Did anyone not see it?
I mean, 1-0, you can set it up. Just set it up, Ken.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Ball's played in from Liverpool's side of the half. I feel it, I don't even know what I feel. The ball's set up in the middle. It takes a bounce. Mane is now one-on-one with Ederson. The ball bounces. It does take a pretty high bounce. Mane's not looking at the keeper. He's looking right directly at the ball. He puts his heel up. Arguably high, questionably high. Ederson goes to head the ball almost. It looks like he went to head the ball at least. Mane's foot catches the face of Ederson. Ederson goes down. Mane goes down. The ball's never touched. Both players are down. Mane is immediately ejected out of the game. You give your opinion right now. What do you think happened right there, Thomas?
It's tough for me because I believe that intent should be taken into account, but it is absolutely not taken into account in the rule book. It's about the rule that is applied there is about excessive force, basically.
Right.
And if you go in there trying to get the ball or not, the bottom line is his spikes were high. They hit the goalie in the face. He did not touch the ball. And by rule of law, that is a red card. It is a tough red card. If I were a Liverpool fan, I would be furious. As a kind of neutral, I'd say that it's actually the right call, devastating as it is and a little bit obnoxious because there was no intent. It doesn't matter if there's intent or not. In that situation, the rule of law is excessive force, which is what they called it, and you can't have your spikes like that going for the ball or not.
Yeah, I do understand that part of the law and what the words actually mean on paper, but we see things week in, week out that are to the letter of the law a red card, that are not called a red card, sometimes not even called. I personally believe that this was given a red card due to the fact it was one-on-one with the keeper, even though the keeper was out of the box, which means he's not really playing keeper at that point in time. So he's fair game. It's one-on-one. It's a 50-50 ball. Mane goes in. If you look at the replay 100 times over, Mane's not even looking at the goalie. He doesn't even know where the goalie is.
No,
going directly for the ball. And now the referee can't see his eyes, obviously. You have to hold the referee. You can't hold him accountable in any aspect except for following the letter of the law, which is studs up to the face. Why are your studs ever high enough to hit someone's face? That's a red card. I understand that. It's just sometimes I think that with the leeway that these referees take on a weekend basis, for them to not take leeway today, it was hard done to a Liverpool fan. Now, I'm not even a neutral fan. I can't stand both of these teams. I was hoping the score would have been 0-0 and it would have been a very boring game. We have nothing to talk about. Unfortunately, I find myself almost coming to the defense of Liverpool and Mane because I don't fully believe that that was a red card. And if it was against anyone else on the field, an outfield player, that's not a red. I would almost guarantee you that it's not a red.
Yeah, again, I mean, I had to read up on it a lot because I wanted it to be on the side of Mane as well. Like, having gone into situations like that, it's clear that he's not that type of player, and it just was bad luck that the goalie was there at the same time. But the bottom line is the same. Everything I read from old referees, etc., said that using excessive force is what's taken into account there, and danger of injuring your opponent is what they're basically calling, and intent has nothing to do with anything there. It should, but and that's what you're talking about is the ref should have taken maybe account of that, but it's not his job to try to rule on intent. It's his job to rule on the laws of the game. Sure, I would have liked it.
No, that's
more
100%.
As a
right. I was just simply
non-neutral, but
I don't think it would have been a red card if it wasn't Ederson that was on the end of that tackle.
You mean the goalie,
right?
Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough red card for Liverpool. Aguero had already scored because exactly. That's what he does.
Well, that's what he does. Man. And
that's what he does.
Yeah. Do I think that Liverpool would have won this game if it stayed even? Absolutely not. And do I think the red card on Liverpool's part going down a man is an excuse for you to get skull dragged 5-0? Absolutely not. Liverpool just didn't show up. And that's what I was saying earlier. There's going to be these weeks where you go in riding high and you just get smacked and you get brought back down to reality. It's going to happen to you too, Tyler, and your little Chelsea. It's going to happen eventually. No one goes undefeated anymore. You know, it's going to happen. And this is just one of those times where Liverpool is a little too high in the sky. Man City had to be the ones, unfortunately for us, to come in and pull them back down to the ground a little bit. And 5-0 is what it was. And that's just because, you know, did Liverpool give up? Maybe. Who knows? But, you know, at going into halftime, you know, 2-0, that gets put up 2-0 right before half. That's always devastating.
Yeah. I think the most important things that come out of this are exactly what you kind of started the show with, which is you can be high as a kite one weekend and the next weekend you get smashed down to earth. And that is exactly what happened to Liverpool. Mane definitely makes their offense run. It seems like when he was gone, especially, not like you said, they weren't really at the races. Salah actually had a very poor game.
He did.
Missed a lot of opportunities. His first bad game for the club, so we're not going to ride him too hard, but he had a very poor game. Their defense looked extremely vulnerable. Klavan, there it is.
Yeah.
Klavan especially was very, very poor.
Well, let's spend a couple seconds on the defense on the back line of Liverpool because they leave a ton to be desired. And, you know, you don't have to be as good as an Aguero or a Jesus to get cut up the way they did today. Again, it's just got to be not your day. And that back line looked horrendous today. They were getting eaten alive. And I think that's one of the bigger points to take from the game. Now, the rest of the league has an issue to deal with. Everyone's been questioning, can Aguero play with Jesus and vice versa? And today, they absolutely said they can. On two occasions, Aguero passes the ball off to Jesus so he can score a goal.
Yeah, that's terrifying if they do start rolling.
That's scary.
If Jesus gets an assist to Aguero, we're going to start calling him Jesus, which is actually what his name is.
That's what his name is, Jesus. Yes, yes.
But we're not doing that until he gets an assist to Sergio Aguero. I know what his name is. We're not doing that until then. But yeah, the Man City front line finally rolling on all cylinders. And you know who else they destroyed in this game? The rookie Alexander Arnold, I think he's 18. He got absolutely devastated throughout this entire game. He got tormented. He got tormented by Mendy. He got worked really, really, really badly in this game. I mean, he's inexperienced, so
yeah,
you're gonna expect those kind of games.
Exactly. So you can't hold too much to him. I mean, this is a tough task for him to deal with the force that a Man City has on their day. And today, City was firing on all 11 cylinders that they have available. Yeah. And it was just, it was something to be seen. I would have rather seen it 11-on-11, but I think it would have been, you know, and it's ifs and whats, you know, kind of scenario, but it would have been a couple of goals to nothing, no matter what, the way that Liverpool showed up today.
Yeah, and City scored 5 of their 10 shots on goal.
Yeah.
If you got that kind of accuracy, and none of them were cheap. Sané especially had a beauty late.
Oh my God, that was crazy. Just
destroyed one. De Bruyne was unbelievable.
As he always is. It's very rare he's not.
Yeah, he's the best crosser in the league, mm-hmm. and probably the best setup man as a result.
Yep.
He was unbelievable in this game, and City looked extremely dangerous, and they were just devastating across the board. And they won in every category. So Liverpool takes their beating, and
they move
back
down
to earth.
And they move on. If you're a Liverpool fan, I stress, do not keep your heads up. Keep your chins up. This is the Prem. It's going to happen. So does it have to happen 5-0? No. You do got to ask some questions about the mentality of the team. It's 90 minutes. Dig in. At halftime, 2-0. Just like they said at halftime during those commentators, I forget the guy's name. The big goal is you go out there and you try to make it 2-1. Once it went to 3, it was a wrap. Kind of settle in. At that point, you're trying to just settle in for goal difference. Like, don't try to get smacked 5-0. But, you know, that's something that I'm sure Klopp will address this week. And this is a very rare occasion to get smacked 5-0. So
Liverpool doesn't have a lot of time to really dwell on this loss, Ken. Like, the smashing they just took, they play at home against Sevilla in the Champions League on Wednesday. So they just got to get themselves ready for that test and not dwell on it. This is the Premier League. You're going to lose games, especially if City's going to come in and play like that.
Exactly. Yeah. No one could have beat them today. Just like no one could have beat Liverpool 2 weeks ago. Take it on the chin just as well as you accept a victory. You accept a loss the way you accept a victory. Today, you just have a different planning situation going into your next game. That's all it is.
Yeah. So, moving on from there, speaking of moving on to the next game and rebounding, Arsenal can 3, AFC Bournemouth 0, and I couldn't believe it. Danny Welbeck scored twice.
Not once, sir, but twice. It was ridiculous. Danny Welbeck, I think if we can keep him healthy, you're not a fan of him.
But
I've always seen something in him. He has the ability to not be like a world beater, but he's got the ability to be somewhat of a menacing force on the field when he's ready to go, because he plays defense. He's like a 22-year-old Wayne Rooney. That's what I look at him like, because he'll be in the other our box playing defense, and just as quick he'll be in the other box playing offense. And I love that. There's something to be said about heart, and Danny Welbeck's got heart.
I like heart just fine, but what Arsenal has been missing for the last few seasons is a cutthroat forward who will score every opportunity he gets. And Danny Welbeck's goal record is one goal about every four games in his career, and that's not good enough if you want to try to win the title.
True, I understand that, but that's what we have Lacazette now. I know you saw that goal he put in today. And let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. It was another goal outside of the box, ripped it right when he didn't even look up. The guy just knows where the goal is, and that's exactly your point, what we've been missing, a out-and-out, genuine goal-scoring machine, and that's going to be Lacazette, just because he doesn't look up. He shoots. If he's 25 yards in, he's shooting, and that is something that Arsenal hasn't had in about 10 years, someone to shoot the ball. I've said it before, we like to pass. I don't want to spend too much time, because we did give a lot of time to Arsenal last week, or 2 weeks ago, but this was all Arsenal all the time this weekend. Yep. Bournemouth wasn't in it. It was quite possibly, if there is an opportune time to play a team in the Prem, this was the opportune time to play Bournemouth, because they are not looking good right now, and we unfortunately piled on the pressure on Eddie Howe and his 11 men, because they never looked in it. I think Wenger finally put out the proper 11. We looked fantastic, and I think that, you know, people are going to say what they want. People are either going to accept it or not. But today, even though it was worth versus Bournemouth, more than that, it was the lineup. I think Wenger's got the lineup right now. And then I think Sanchez, the more he does, like today when he came in, he looked great. The fans accepted him. He immediately made a little finesse touch pass to, I think it was Ramsey. Yeah, crazy. I mean, he's ready to play again. He came out and said this week he's ready to play. He had a couple shots on target. You know, he was running around. He was creating problems for Bournemouth like he usually does. I think that we'll be fine whether or not he leaves in January or not. I think we're going to get 100% of Sanchez. So I'm excited going forward. And like I said before, you can get smacked 4-0 last week and come in and rebound 3-0 victory at home and bring it right into the next game. And that's what you got to do. And Arsenal hasn't showed character like this in a while. I like
Ken,
it.
Ken, I, real quick, I can't let you get away with not admitting that Welbeck's first goal was horrendously ugly, especially after you gave me a hard time 2 weeks ago about Morata's header, saying a header is not really a goal for a person like that.
Well, let's go ahead and bite. I'm glad you brought this up, Mr. Alfeld.
And then he shouldered it into the goal. It was the ugliest thing I have seen in a long time.
Okay, a couple things that I'm going to nip this right in the bud immediately, Mr. Alfeld. Just tell me now, how much did Danny Welbeck cost Arsenal? £20 million. How much did Morata cost Chelsea?
£70 million.
Are you telling me right now that you're putting Danny Welbeck in the same level of the elite strikers as a Juan Morata?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Danny Welbeck scores a goal. It's a cherry on top, my friend. We're not expecting Danny Welbeck to score goals. We're expecting Danny Welbeck to hold the ball up and do what he does best, which is cause problems on the pitch. If he scores a goal, great. Today he scored twice, so it was awesome.
He's a forward. He's supposed to score goals.
He is.
I understand what you're saying.
He's a holding forward. He's not going to score.
He is.
Never scored goals, to your point a couple seconds ago, a couple minutes ago. He doesn't have a good goal-scoring record, but he's not necessarily on the pitch to actually score goals. He doesn't play a striking position by himself, usually, and he didn't today. He hasn't the whole season. He's set up to hold the ball up for a Lacazette or a Giroud or almost anyone else that can score a goal. Because, yeah, you're right. He doesn't score goals well, and it wasn't a great goal. But, you know, end of the day, for Danny Welbeck, a goal is a goal. To Tom's point, one goal every four games is not a good record. But that's about a £20 million record in today's yeah. world.
Well, Arsenal takes the game 3-0. Kolasinac also had a really nice cross in this game.
He is going to be awesome. I love him.
He looks good.
I also like that Mustafi was here, showing up and playing. Like he never requested to leave. He played great.
Yeah. Nice of him to play.
I like
so
it.
Arsenal wins.
Looking good.
Ken and I were actually talking about Europa throughout the week, and I was saying we were both on the same page, basically. I mean, Manchester United put all their eggs in the Europa basket last year, and maybe that was their only thing they could have done. But winning Europa is not like you just show up and win. Liverpool knows this. Just because you might be the best team or one of the best teams doesn't mean you're going to win it. It's still a difficult tournament. And Ken, you were saying basically that Arsenal should put out their youth.
Right. I want Arsenal, and you know, for whatever it's worth, I really don't care what people have to say about my opinion. They can shoot it to me if they want, but Europa League, to Tom's point, is not going to be easy. What I feel Europa League is for a club like Arsenal, and for that matter, a club like Man United, they just happen to be on the right side of it. It's an opportunity for you to lose to Europe's second class. Now, saying that, Europa League is a very difficult competition to be in, especially when you mix it in with the 38 weeks of week in, week out competition you're playing in England. I would like Mr. Wenger right now to play the substitutions and the youth in Euro. We get where we get. We put all of our eggs into the league. We get back into fourth. If we put our eggs into the basket of we're going to win Europa, so no matter what happens, we're going to be in Champions League next season, we will be on the wrong side of that little sentence, and egg will be on our face. We need to forget about Europa League. I understand it's still Europe. It's still a trophy to bring up, but I just don't see, you know, Arsenal with what we have to do going forward. Do I think we have the men to do it? Do I think we have the depth to do it? Sure. But why force it? Why push it? Let's just focus on the league, focus on the FA Cup, and let's do what we do every time. Let's get back into fourth, and then next season let's work on winning the league again. I'd like to focus on winning the league this season. I just personally don't see it's in the cards. I'd like to finish fourth, and I think that Europa gets in the way of that.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially seeing Arsenal's roster. Manchester United last year, we looked like a fifth place team, sixth place team. We weren't scoring. And, it, you know, Mal just said, all right, we're going to do everything we can to win the Europa League because we can't get in the Champions League through the league. That was a decision that he made. And sure, it looks really good because he did win it. But it's a very difficult competition. And English teams haven't won it that often. So I would say Arsenal just needs to focus in the league, exactly what you said. And Europa is difficult. You don't want to. What happens if you get knocked out in the final like Liverpool did a few years ago?
Right. Nobody wants to
get nothing.
Work all the
nothing.
Work hard. Risk injuries to a pivotal player to your team to finish in the top four. Or hey, it's a long season. Maybe for whatever reason, Arsenal goes on this ride and we're title contenders. Do you want someone to get injured later down the road in Europa, like a Sanchez or Lacazette? Or an Ozil or a Ramsey, and then we finish second place, we lose in the final. You get nothing for that, to your point. Nothing for that except for finishing where you finish in the league. I don't know. Let's just focus on the league. That's what I want to do. I mean, obviously, I don't make those decisions. I just give opinions. So we'll see what happens.
So So we'll see what happens with their group stage rosters, but Arsenal wins 3-0.
Fantastic victory.
Zero points this year. Arsenal was temporarily in the top half of the table. Good for you. But they finished the weekend at 11th. Sorry, Ken. So they are still down there.
It's a long season, fellas.
Moving on to the team now sitting in third place. Chelsea wins 2-1. What is becoming a signature victory, a Conte victory, Ken. 2-1. Chelsea just beats the other team. They win the game, and they get it done. That's what they do. That's what Conte seems to do. I don't know how you feel about this one, Ken, but it was away for them. It was at the King Power Stadium against Leicester.
I mean, that is...
They beat them.
I mean, that's a win away to Leicester is good. I will say this, though, and this is why Leicester had won the league once, and it will be a very, very, very... I can't stress enough, very long time before an outside club like that does it again, because now I feel like at least the top clubs have figured it out and understood how to beat a Leicester, which is, you know, play a little bit to the defensive side and you kind of catch them. I'm not saying that Chelsea played the counterattack, but they stopped Leicester's counterattack, which means you have to play a little bit more defensive. You got to hold your line a little bit further back. And that's exactly what the last 2 weeks has happened to Leicester, and they don't know what to do with it. They are a one tactic team. And if Vardy can't get past the back line, they're not winning a game. It's going to be rare that they win. So good on Chelsea for figuring it out. To my man, Tyler Alfeld, was a fantastic header that Morata put in.
That was a fantastic header by Morata.
It was fantastic. And I had a nice little thing, a nice little compliment I was going to give to Morata that I'm now going to hold off now because you went around your mouth about it, comparing him to Danny Welbeck, which I think is funny. And I think that non-compliment that you gave to Morata will be enough to overrule any compliment I can give to Morata today.
Yeah, he is scoring goals while still not being... not overpowering people or playing particularly well as a nine. He's playing well enough to score goals.
Yeah, but if he can figure it out, maybe he's figured something else out. He doesn't need to be this rough and tough guy to score goals. And, you know, we'll see how long it works. Right now, it's working pretty much every single game he plays. So.
Yeah, so he's scoring goals. He's set up a few goals this year. And the bottom line is the same. He can shut us up, Ken, if he's scoring goals, and that's what he's doing. That being said, the Conte goal I thought was super soft. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was shot from like 25 yards out. It was a worm burner. And Schmeichel, I have no idea how Schmeichel didn't reach that. That ball should have been, like, caught.
It's definitely
It was terrible. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just one of those things where, you know, a mistake, I guess. You can't really explain it any other way. I mean, I'm sure he had to answer some kind of question to it, which I would imagine when something like Schmeichel just rolling his eyes and shaking his head, putting his hands above his head, like, you know, what are you going to do? It happened. So
super soft goal. But honestly, like, Chelsea seems to create those kind of chances and create those kind of goals. They have that kind of luck. I don't know what else to call it, where they get those little breaks, and that's fine. That's part of their game, and it's what won them the title last year. I don't begrudge them that. I think that they have that kind of extra intangible, and that's what makes them really dangerous. We'll see what happens, though, as they start their Champions League campaign this week, Ken.
Yeah.
They are at home against Karabag FK. I've never heard of that team. They're from Azerbaijan. I don't know what this means. Like, are they going to play their starters? I have no idea, but Chelsea is now starting the grinding European traveling and the three games a week. So we will see how they hold up. But another 2-1, one goal win by Conte. We do some hating, but I mean, the bottom line's the same. They're getting the victories.
Before we move on from this, I did want to, after I watch the games, I always go online and read what people are writing about it, try to get some more insight. I have never heard of the FA investigating fans over a chant. But I don't know if you guys saw the story, but there's evidently some sort of anti-Semitic Morata chant that's happening that now people are going to get banned from going to games if people hear it. And I'm just wanted to ask you guys, is that common?
It happens a lot,
actually.
It does happen a lot.
It happens a lot, I mean.
does happen a lot.
I don't want to say
it's usually
thing, but it happens a lot.
It's usually racist or homophobic that they end up doing. You know, like I don't want to get into too many details, but the English are very clever with their chants a lot of times. Like they usually have some pretty funny ones, but yeah, sometimes there's a group that'll cross the line, and then there's these investigations, and fans get banned. It's not. I mean, it's
get to the point too where the club gets fined, like the club will get fined depending on what it is. But yeah, it's not unfortunately, it's not a rare occurrence. I mean, it happens quite often.
And it's not just England either. It's actually, I think, not as bad in England as it is in some other countries.
Spain.
Yeah, Italy and Spain, they usually have more racial problems, but hopefully not an issue moving forward. And then Russia, they're really worried about that with the Russian World Cup because they have some of those issues there too. It's everywhere, unfortunately, and they're trying to get rid of it. But yeah, unfortunately, Tyler, that does happen. And hopefully, you know, whoever was responsible for it, that will get fined and removed from the stadium. That's usually what happens. Yeah. But those things
gotcha.
Get
put. I expect better from the best fans in soccer. So.
Okay, I don't think Chelsea's fans have ever been called the best in soccer. So yeah, this is a first. Good job, Tyler.
You started that. You started that rumor that Chelsea
you
have
started
the best
that
fans.
Rumor just now. Just now. Moving on to more London fans. Tottenham Hotspur versus Everton. And Ken, talk about teams showing up this week.
Oh my!
Tottenham really showed up.
Hey,
Harry Kane's back.
Just like you said, I guess you guys are like on the phone text messaging each other because you guaranteed it. He guaranteed it. He goes out and scores twice. Now the first that was a cross.
That was a cross that went in, but after not scoring in August, as usual, Harry Kane starts September off the right way and bags a couple goals. The first one is the kind of goal that can get you started, Ken. It was a cross, a deep cross.
Yeah.
He was
all right, fine.
It was
went
just
in.
Bombed in there, went right over the goalie's head into the back. It would have been an unbelievable shot. That's why it wasn't a shot. It was definitely a cross. But Harry Kane will take it. He looked like he enjoyed it. Eriksen with a nice finish. And Harry Kane had another one, which was looked more like a vintage Harry Kane.
Yeah, that was more a I'm going to score on you no matter what you're going to tell me right now. I think sort of like the beating that Arsenal took to Liverpool, sometimes the losing team deserves more attention than Tottenham. More than Tottenham winning 3-0, Everton, like the way that Tottenham beat them, they made it look simple. And Everton has spent a little bit too much money this summer to be falling over the way they did today. They are not looking like a team that just spent upwards of £150 million on players. And they did. So they're going to need to figure out something quick. If they don't need to figure something out and that's the best they got, then we need to be worried about not only Manchester City, we need to be worried about Tottenham. Because Tottenham went into Everton today and steamrolled them like they were a pub team. Like,
yeah, it was a straight smashing.
It was wild.
Everton with zero shots on goal at home.
Yeah,
no shots on goal. Tottenham absolutely suffocated them, and
they made it look simple again. It was so easy looking to them.
Harry Kane coming back, looking good. I mean, there's nothing else you can really say. I mean, Tottenham needs this kind of form away because of the way they have started the season at home.
And you know my feelings. They're going to need to win away games because they ain't winning at Wembley.
I don't believe in stadium curses
we'll
or anything weird
we'll
like
see.
That. So I don't know what you're talking about there. But looks we'll like Tottenham will start their Champions League on Wednesday against Dortmund at home.
That's tough.
At Wembley, Ken. That is tough. They got to roll right into that. That's a really tough matchup. So they'll be tested right away.
Immediately. We'll see what happens. And I think that'll be that'll be one to watch for sure, just because that's the type of game that can not derail, you know, the season, but it can kind of – it's a stumbling block for the next week because, again, Tottenham's in the – we're in the Prem. So they just played Everton. They got lucky. They got lucky and made it look easy today. 3-0. So hopefully they're not too tired for their sake. They can go and play Dortmund, host them, and then go into next week. But when you play tough teams from the opposing leagues in midweek, you still got to play Saturday, Sunday. I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, it's, we'll find out. I mean, it's just, this is where the Champions League really starts affecting English teams. When you start getting to put a tough group like that, you got Dortmund game one of the group stage. So yeah, it's a tough draw.
Yeah, they play Swansea next weekend, so I would at home. So I would expect them to probably play their starters on Wednesday and maybe rotate some players, which they haven't really done before. Rotating players.
That's a tricky spot, though, to be in, Tom, where like you think you're playing Swansea, who has no momentum at all. So you go out and you say, let's make a statement to the group that we're here to win it, and then you go out and exert all your energy on, you know, Sunday or Saturday and Wednesday, and then you come back on the weekend, you got nothing left, and you end up getting embarrassed by a Swansea. So
yeah, absolutely could happen, but I think Tottenham is starting to stabilize and get into that mode that you and I talked about when we gave our predictions, which is Tottenham under the radar right now, sitting in fifth. Not that it matters after four games, but sitting in fifth place, 4-goal differential. Nice win, and then they just slowly start racking up results, and that is how Tottenham moves forward, and that's honestly what I'm expecting from them. We'll see what happens, though. They have the Champions League. They've made a lot of noise about having a better Champions League campaign, not getting knocked out in the group stage, and having to deal with the Europa League, which is what happens if you get knocked out of the group stage and you end up in third. I don't think they want to do that. That's worst case scenario. So we'll see what happens to Tottenham as they play this Wednesday. They could pick up some points. That'd be good for them. But yeah, nice win for them. 3-0. Harry Kane is back.
There he is. Just like you said. You said it first.
Yep. So the next game, we had Watford versus Southampton. Southampton, Ken, is struggle city right now.
They're usually much better than this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not devastating yet, but it's definitely looking – it's not looking good. I mean, they got to turn around soon. And to get smacked by Watford like that at home, whew.
Yep. 2-0 Watford. Watford is in fourth place right now. They have 2 wins and 2 draws, and they have 8 points. And they did play Liverpool. Everybody remembers that game from the first game of the season where they scored 3 times. Very impressive from them, but a nice win for them at Southampton, because basically when you get to the teams between 10 and 20, their first priority is to not get relegated.
Right. Yeah. Especially you travel away to these clubs. And you come out with a victory. I mean, that's a win. Like I mean, obviously it's a win, but it's a big win, because you'd be happy to leave with a point. You're ecstatic. They had with 3.
Real nice goal by Ducore, I think is how you say his name. He had a nice smash from about 24, 25 yards.
It was deep, yeah.
Yeah, it was real nice goal there. So if you want to take a look at the highlight there, it'd be worth your time. Moving on, I thought it was interesting that before we started the show, we were talking about the results, and Tyler was talking about seeing the Brighton game. And Tyler, you were saying that you're kind of rooting for Brighton the whole way through.
Yeah, no, it's actually a stupid reason why, but Brighton Rock, which is a Queen song, is my favorite Queen song, and now they're in the league for the first time. I enjoyed the game. It was a real scrappy game, in my opinion, and it was cool to see them not only get their first league goal, but then also simultaneously get their first win. So I had fun with that game, and I had to watch it on my phone. I was watching it online because I couldn't find it on cable, but. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, 3-1 Brighton over West Brom, which is an important win for them because, like we were saying, anybody between 10 and 20, their first priority is to avoid getting relegated, and Brighton is definitely one of those teams that needs to watch it when it comes to that. West Brom shouldn't be in the relegation talk. They're in ninth right now, and that's probably about where they'll finish. Again, it's early. The table doesn't really matter, I'm aware. But they're sitting in ninth right now. They're not a bad team, and that's an important 3 points for Brighton.
Definitely. Anytime you can get 3, obviously, for that type of club, like you're saying, it matters. So good on them. Yeah, so go on the next week. Don't think about it for too long. Prepare for next week.
Yep, Brighton gets the win. Moving on to the next day, which was Sunday. Kind of ugly games here, Ken. We had Burnley versus Crystal Palace, where Burnley wins 1-0. Crystal Palace loses again. Did you see the goal?
Yeah, I saw, but I know for a fact that you're not going to skip over Stoke.
Manchester United.
The first time that your club looks like they're not 11 gods rolling around the field. And you're just going to go right into Sunday? You've forgotten about it quickly?
There it is.
Yeah, you forgot about the... Your words, not mine. The banana peel that is Stoke away.
You are unbelievable, my friend.
You are unbelievable.
I was going to mention it. I was going to mention it in minute 55 or so, by the way. Stoke City, Man United 2-2. it's Stoke away, okay? It's Stoke away. That's all you have to say. Bring in Barcelona. Bring in Real Madrid. Let them play Stoke away. Man, let's see what happens if they have Stoke away.
It's your club that's falling victim to the knife that is Stoke City. It was just Arsenal being tough. Arsenal when it was Arsenal away to Stoke. You're a funny guy, Tom. You're a funny guy. Let's go into detail. You go first.
Fine. Stoke tied Manchester United 2-2. It was a draw.
You have no opinions.
That's all.
Finally, Man United isn't going to be as simple as, you know, all of these head in the cloud fans and all these commentators who are like, oh my God, no one can handle Lukaku. Oh my God, Mata's playing through the midfield like crazy. No one can touch him. Oh my God, De Gea can't get a goal scored on him. Oh man, they're going to go all season, 38 wins, no goals against them.
I never said that.
Go into it, please.
Fine. It is Stoke away. It's an away match in the Prem against a team that's going to finish probably around 10th, 9th, somewhere in that range. They play very tough at home. They play a lot of defense. I would say that the thing that's most disappointing in this match is to draw against Stoke City, but mainly to have them score twice. They should not score twice against you, especially when we took
a 2-1
lead.
They go up 1-0.
Yep, we went.
They 2-2 it.
Yeah, we went down 1-0, and then minutes later, Pogba heads the ball off of Rashford for a goal. Very ugly, but right before the half, it's 1-1, and at that point, with United having the momentum going into the second half, you have to figure, just based on the way they play this year, that they are going to move forward and win this match. Lukaku goes ahead then and scores. It's 2-1.
I thought it was a wrap at that point. I was like, here we go again.
Everything looks good, Ken. Yep. Everything looks good. And then Chapu Moting scores in the 63rd minute.
Is that how you say his name? Chapu Moting?
Sure.
He looked fantastic the whole game, by the way. He looked
scored twice.
Ridiculous. Like, even when he wasn't scoring, he was doing a lot. He's a really good player. Stoke's lucky to have him.
Yeah. No, they scored the goal. United piled the pressure on after the 80th minute, but Stoke did what Stoke does, and they held on to that draw, including Butland pulling a ball off the line late. It wasn't as dramatic as they made it sound. I mean, it was hit like kind of right at him, but it was still a nice save.
For that specific purpose.
Mourinho, the United manager, you saw that he wouldn't shake hands with Mark Hughes, the Stoke manager. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean,
they got in a tiff.
I see that. To me, like, it's just, it could be looked upon as poor character. Like, the first time your club, like, sees any type of, you know, negative signs of, like, not progressing forward, and you've got your panties in a twist, you know, like, shake the guy's hand, move on with it. You got a point away, you know, clubs this season are going to be happy to get a point away to Stoke. Like, you look really butthurt, and that's where Mal, he just turns into Mal. Like, that's the Mal that everyone's come to love to hate. And
he's grumpy.
There's no place for it, really. I mean, just shake his hand. You just played against the guy for 90 minutes. He evened you no matter what. Yeah, you had almost twice the possession as they did, you know, a couple more shots. But at the end of the day, it's 2-2. Good on them. You came into their stadium, their club. You left 2-2. Shake the man's hand. I thought it was disgusting, honestly. I hate when the managers don't shake each other's hands, because we put so much pressure on these players to be role models. And because these managers are just like on the sideline and you only hear them, you know, at press conferences and post game news conferences, like, they just get away with so much more. Like, oh, they don't have to answer questions. Yeah, you kind of do, actually.
Yeah, Mourinho refused to answer that question, why he didn't shake the hand. There was speculation that...
I'll tell you right now, butthurtness.
Apparently the two of them, they were going at it. Basically, Mark Hughes tried to get Mourinho sent off because he wandered into the home that is Stoke's technical area where Mark Hughes is standing.
Is that the letter of the law?
During the game.
Is that the letter of the rule?
It is not the letter of the law.
Then, yeah, fine.
And Hughes shoved him out of there. Hughes, of course, is a former Manchester United icon, so he doesn't normally mix it up with Manchester United managers, but Mourinho is, like you said, he's a spiky character.
He brings it out of
people. Especially when he doesn't get the result.
Yep. So, you know, that's why we love to hate him. And 2-2, move on to the next week. Well, middle of the week, and then go into next week.
Yeah. United will play Basel at home. This wouldn't really be much of an interesting matchup, except United was knocked out by Basel on David De Gea's first year out of the group stages. So something to
a little storyline progressing here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Before Tyler, you move on, Tom, I just wanted to say that this was another game that I got a chance to watch and enjoyed, and I really liked your mid three, the new starting lineup that Mourinho put in with Herrera coming in, Herrera, Pogba, and Matic. I thought they looked great together, the three of them. I don't know. The dynamic they had, the midfield play, I thought was really inspired. Even though the result wasn't there, I thought they looked really strong, and I don't like to give Man U compliments, but I do have to say that Bailey fell asleep after looking great. He let what's his name? I always say his name wrong. Doof. How do you pronounce that guy's name? There we go. Yeah, he let him stay on side. Completely looked like he took a nap out there after, you know, playing pretty well for the first couple minutes there. I got to say, he fell apart on you.
Yeah, Bailly has had a really strong career so far after signing last summer for United, and has looked like that guy that will be the one to make the really, really fierce tackle. And he seems to be a red card waiting to happen sometimes, but he hasn't been booked like that yet in any big games. So he's looked good, really good. And yeah, there are going to be some times Jones caught a lot of flack for his play in this game also. But yeah, I mean, these things do happen. It is Stoke away, and 1 point isn't what you want, but you're not going to go 38-0.
Exactly. And to the bigger picture of Tyler's comments, where Matic and, you know, the main three of Man United really go as of what we've seen so far, looking so great and inspired, to use Tyler's words. That goes to show you the amount of organization that these clubs, that a lot of, you know, an outsider will look at as, like, you know, not a respectful club, will put in to mash out a result the way they did today. They have the ability to, with their defensive organization, to make anyone look, you know, like you're not going to score. At least you're not going to score enough goals to win. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of speaks to the mid table of England and how much how much they're going to protect their home, whether it be with a draw or a win. They're going to do everything to not lose.
Yeah, and Stoke is the definition of the mid table of England. They're a tough, gritty team that will take their draws against big teams. So it's not the end of the world, but, you know, obviously we want to do better than that. We'll see what happens now that the Champions League and the matches start to really pile up.
Because now you got this draw, you're probably going to get relegated.
Yeah. I think you said that about Tottenham in the beginning of the season. You're the worst. But yeah, so we move on. Now can we move to Sunday? That'd be Burnley versus Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Now that we've discussed the draw. Burnley 1, Crystal Palace 0. Crystal Palace gets a back pass picked off by Burnley's Chris Wood in the third minute.
Chris Wood Crystal strikes Palace again.
Takes 23 shots, 5 on goal, 65% possession, and loses 1-0. Ken, you didn't know his name in the beginning of the season, but Ronald De Boer is in huge trouble.
I don't like to start calling the firing squad so early, but if anyone is going to be, it's been tossed around. That's all I'm saying. Should we get rid of this guy? Like, there's some guys in suits that sit up at the very top of the stadium that watch these games, and they say, is this clown done or what? Has he embarrassed us enough? Because he's come in, he promised us a lot, and he's delivered on nothing. He's embarrassing us. They look terrible. No wins, pretty much haven't showed up this season. They don't look
not
like
even,
they're going to win.
They're not even playing anybody.
No.
They're not even playing anybody.
Exactly. Like, for all intents and purposes, they're not playing anybody. Like, what's going to happen
and
when you play the top six? Like, are you going to lose? Are you going to be that club that loses, what, 6-7 nothing? And it looked like, you know, it should have happened? Yeah, you might be out. It's one of those things where now, every single day that De Boer is employed by Crystal Palace is a day that he should thank his lucky stars, because he is on more than borrowed time.
Yeah, Crystal Palace does have a semi-expensive squad in place from some spending they did last year. So, and they also bought some guys at the deadline. It's not like they're a newly promoted squad. They should be performing better than they have the last 2 years. It is Frank De Boer, not Ronald. Sorry, they're twin brothers. It's Frank De Boer. I don't know what Ronald's doing. He's probably still in Holland coaching. But yeah, Frank De Boer has to be considering his options right now. It's early, but it's four matches, and three of them they really should.
His options, he should be just laying in the cut, not saying anything, trying to remain as far in the shadows as he can, so almost hoping the board forget that he's the one who's the manager and producing these results. Because if he goes into the media, he answers any question wrongly, he is out. He is out with, you know, the swiftest of effectness. Like, it is crazy, like, how fast he will be fired.
Yep. Crystal Palace, 0 points, 19th place. Moving on to another team that needed a result. Newcastle wins 1-0 over Swansea, an important win for Newcastle. Again, one of these teams that might be looking at relegation. Both you and I think that they'll clear it, but it's something for them that really watch out for and get out of the way of.
Yeah.
I mean, so...
not really much to say there. The game was, like, pretty boring, but...
it was. I think it was a corner kick header for the goal. Swansea with more possession at home. Probably you could have argued this should have been a draw or a win for Swansea, but it wasn't. Newcastle wins 1-0. And
it's more, more that the story was probably Benitez wasn't even there, and they won. So that might be a problem for Benitez.
Yeah, the manager wasn't there and they won. He had surgery and he didn't make the game. Maybe that's just something to be said about that. But an important result for Newcastle. They move forward with with 3 points. So good win for them. The Monday game is West Ham versus Huddersfield Town. Ken, this shouldn't be an interesting game on paper, if you had said it before the season, but Huddersfield's in 6th, 7 points for them, and West Ham is in 20th.
Right.
0 points
for them.
You got
to assume that Huddersfield's going to stroll right in here like they have the last couple of weeks. They're making it look kind of easy.
Yep. West Ham, absolutely must-win game for them, even though it's only the fourth game of the season. They have played so poorly this season that they absolutely need this game. And I would expect West Ham to get a 2-0 win here or something along those lines. As much as I like Huddersfield, I think they just have to, dude.
Well,
they're a wounded animal.
Yeah, they have to do
they
it.
Have to. They have to show up in this game. It's early.
They have to, but you know how I don't know. Like, this Huddersfield is just playing like they with their blinders on. They don't even know they're in the Premier League. They're just going out there. They're just doing things. They're just scoring goals. They're just balls to the wall, doing what probably nothing more than they know to do, which is just do what it takes to win. That's how they got here. So why not bring that same mentality in? And that's what they've done, it looks like. And they're not doing bad for themselves. So I think West Ham's going to be, they're going to be a little bit harder off than, you know, I think just a simple 2-0 prediction is going to be. I'm not saying they can't do it, but they have to win. Yeah, they got to win. And it's not even enough now for West Ham just to win this game. It's a home game against a newly promoted club. You haven't won a game yet. You need to win and win convincingly. If you're Bilic, if you're Chicharito, if you're Hart, and if you're Arnautovic, you got to start proving that you are worth, you know, what it costs to get you here. So,
Is Arnautovic back?
I don't even know. I think this might be his first game. If this is not his first game back, then this is his last game suspended. Honestly, I don't know.
But they got to show up for this game. They just have to. West Ham should be, with the money they spent, they should have been competing for seventh place. Yep. With the lineup they're putting out there, they've been garbage and they'd be getting smashed. So they absolutely have to show up.
They still can't, but they're not looking like they want to right now.
Yeah, so they absolutely need that game. But moving on to next weekend, we already touched base on all the midweek Champions League action. We got the Friday matches, Ken. We got AFC Bournemouth at home against Brighton. Tyler's Brighton. I love me some Friday football.
I like it too. I kind of like the ease into the weekend. Let's get a game out of the way. And it just makes the weekend even longer. I just kind of like it. It just seems longer when it starts Friday than when it goes Saturday to Monday for some reason. I feel like Monday doesn't count as this weekend's game for some reason to me.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably because we record on Sundays. That's probably why. But yeah, I mean, you don't notice the Monday match. And even when your team's playing in it, it seems like it's it's a midweek match. It's detached from the weekend. So yeah, we have the Friday match. We have Crystal Palace on Saturday versus Southampton. Both these teams are struggling. Palace at home again. Figure it out. One of these teams, Ken, is going to go away unhappy. That's just the way it is. Liverpool plays at home against Burnley. Huddersfield plays against Leicester City. Watford versus Manchester City. It'll be interesting to see how Manchester City shows up for this one. Watford having been a little bit plucky this year so far, Ken.
Yeah, it'll be tricky. I mean, you have to assume City will pass the test, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Newcastle at home against Stoke, West Brom versus West Ham, and Tottenham versus Swansea City finishes out the Saturday matchup. We talked about that before. That is a home match for Tottenham. It's time for them to win at Wembley and stop doing the nonsensical dropping points just because it's another stadium. It doesn't matter at all. Moving on to Sunday, Manchester United at home against Everton. Everton could be in trouble here, Ken.
They could be. I mean, they get smacked again. Someone's going to have to start answering some questions, and I don't think anyone's head's going to be on the chopping block, but they're going to have to reform. They're going to have to reevaluate, you know, maybe the playing scheme that they're doing, and because it's not enough just to buy these players. They're not playing them in the proper position. They don't have the right mental aspect going into the week of like training for the weekend. Something's wrong because they've got the players to do better than they've been doing. I'm not saying they should be beating a Tottenham, but they should be making it difficult.
Yeah. Manchester United, Everton. Usually a tough match for United. Everton is out of form. United is mostly in
Wayne
form.
Rooney,
they did
Patrick,
draw Stoke.
You'd say maybe. Might be coming.
He'll probably will score. He does score in these. He does score in these big opportunities. But no, I really expect United to show up. I would be upset more so than I would be with them dropping points at Stoke if they drop points at home against a sluggish Everton team. So, but the game of the weekend,
set your alarms.
8:30 a.m. Chelsea versus Arsenal. That is Tyler versus Ken, most importantly. And I have a bet for you guys, if you're interested.
Sure.
Ken, you and I have done this bet before. Basically, whoever wins wears the other person's jersey.
How did that Arsenal jersey feel on you?
It was like purple. I don't understand. Arsenal's colors are not purple. There's no purple Arsenal color, purple. So it was dumb. But yeah, and I had to wear it at work too, which is the worst. And you were working with me at the time, which made it even worse. I think you guys should do a jersey swap.
I've already got my hand firmly wrapped around the string on his little balloon that he's in, ready to rip it back out from the clouds that he's in right now. It's going to be a problem for you, sir. It's a home game for you. I envision that we will win and probably, you know, maybe even make it look a little simple.
I think I will dig deep into my wardrobe and pull out my Bolland jersey for you.
Oh, that is beautiful.
The best looking man in football. Ever to play the game. Best looking German guy. I'll get that jersey. Jersey out for you to wear around.
Pollock is.
Hey, you know, get it ready. You know, spend the. I want you to actually spend the money to get that thing dry, clean, pressed. I want you to have the receipt to remind you of the time that you thought that Chelsea was good enough to take on the likes of an Arsenal at home.
Oh no, I'm gonna mow the lawn in it. I'm gonna mow the lawn in it on Saturday morning and then let you have it after that.
I'm not sure one of my babies kind of like just spits up on it, and I'll clean it up to where it's not stained, but it just smells a little. So you can wear that.
That sounds like a good bet there. You guys will do a jersey swap, and maybe we'll put a picture up on Facebook or something like that, depending on whoever ends up wearing it. I'm going to say that Morata does not score in this game. There you go. There's my bold prediction. I think 1-1 draw, like, and Morata does not score.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to go ahead and predict anything. I do think that it will, like, no scoreline. I do think it will be an Arsenal victory, and we will be walking back across the street in a parade of glory with your balloon, Tyler Alfeld.
And I'm gonna predict that we'll be 8 matches away from my 13 game predicted win streak.
We'll see you next Sunday.
I just want to stop talking about Tyler's balloon. I feel like we're going into some weird areas with that. You're talking about wrapping your hand around Tyler's balloon and all
this
stuff.
It would be only
like,
fitting that Arsenal this season would, you know, supposedly ruin your little win streak, where last season Arsenal actually propelled you into a win streak.
And United did too. They smashed United in that win streak. But yeah, so it'll be an interesting weekend as usual. We also have midweek action, which is a lot of fun. Champions League start. The grind starts, Kenley. No more breaks. The grind starts. So we will see what happens as these teams, especially Chelsea and Liverpool, hit European competition, see how they hold up with their playing styles, and move into the next weekend.
Can't wait.
Kenley, anything you want to add?
I'm done.
All right, Tyler Alfeld, anything you want to add?
No, sir. Thank you.